I've been thinking about it. All that build-up and effort, and barely a shot was fired.
This is where Burgoyne's plan begins to change. He did not anticipate having to give chase to the escaping rebels, and he wasn't about to let St. Clair and his troops get away so easily. Burgoyne was hot on St. Clair's trail. We are headed the way the rebels escaped by water to Whitehall. But most of the rebels traveled 20 miles or so southeast toward Castleton, Vermont. It was sparsely settled terrain over hilly country on a narrow track through dense forests.
Do they just disperse everywhere into the woods?
Actually, even though the departure from Fort Independence was hasty, St. Clair led an orderly retreat.
And what happened to St. Clair for abandoning his post? Was he court-martialed?
You bet he was. St. Clair would have to answer to the Continental Congress, where they would judge his decision to retreat during a court-martial proceeding a month later. One New Hampshire militiaman commented, "Such a retreat was never heard of since the creation of the world."
But they got away and got to live another day.
Absolutely. Anticipating Burgoyne's pursuit, the rebels established a rear guard that stayed at Hubbardton, while St. Clair and the main body of the army continued an additional 5 miles to Castleton. Meanwhile, Fraser and his men took off in pursuit.
Wasn't Fraser on the west side of the lake, though?
According to legend, soldiers were ordered to blow up the bridge, but got drunk and never lit the fuse. I don't know how true that is, though. It is possible that they left the bridge to prevent Burgoyne from getting through and buying some time for the rebels that escaped by water.
Brigadier Fraser was advancing, leaving orders for the brigade to follow with intentions to pursue by land. Knowing the safety I could trust to that officer's conduct, I turned my chief attention to the pursuit by water, by which route I had intelligence one column were retiring in 220 bateaux covered by fire-armed galleys. Major General Dazel was directed to proceed by land to sustain Brigadier Fraser or to act more to the left if he saw it expedient to do so.
So Burgoyne and Fraser split up to chase the rebels, and Radazel crossed the creek to catch up with Fraser.
There were nearly 1,000 men pursuing St. Clair by road, but Fraser's flying army, as the Americans called it, was much faster than Radazel and the Germans, who continued to lag behind.
Brigadier Fraser had continued his pursuit on the road to Castleton till 1 o'clock, having marched in a very hot day from 4 in the morning. While the men were refreshing, Major General Radazel came up, and arrangements having been concerted for continuing the pursuit, Brigadier Fraser moved forward again and during the night lay upon his arms in an advantageous situation.
Why were the Germans so much slower than Fraser's troops?
The weather was extremely hot, and the Germans were dressed and armed in uniforms that were unsuited for marching through the wilderness. Also, the overall pursuit of the rebels was hasty. Neither the Brits nor the Germans had proper provisions.
We were on the pursuit the whole day without any sort of provision. And indeed, I may say we had very little or none, excepting one cow we happened to kill in the woods, which, without bread, was next to nothing among so many.
So I guess Fraser doesn't catch up with the rebels.
The next morning, both Fraser and Radazel prepared to move out at 3 a.m. to continue their pursuit, but Fraser continued his advance without him.
So at this point, Fraser is on his own against the rear guard of St. Clair's retreating army.
The action played out on the hills around Sucker Creek.
After marching 4 or 5 miles, we came up with above 2,000 of the enemy, strongly posted on the top of a high hill, with breastworks before them and great trees cut across to prevent our approach.
The rebels formed a line behind a picket fence on Monument Hill, which stood upon a rising. Fraser was outnumbered, but that wasn't going to stop him. He and his troops were confident they could handle the undisciplined rebel militia.
We no sooner gained the ascent than there was such a fire sent amongst them as not easily conceived.
It sounds like the rebels were putting up quite the fight.
Get this.
The brigadier, in momentary expectation of the arrival of the Germans, had laterally weakened his left flank to support his right flank. At this critical moment, Major General Radazel arrived with the foremost of his column. His judgment instantly pointed to him the course to take. He extended upon Brigadier Fraser's left flank. The enemy fled on all sides, leaving dead upon the field. Major General Riedesel and those he commanded pressed for a share of the glory, and they arrived in time to obtain it.
Whoa, the British barely won that one, thanks to Riedesel getting there in time. Fraser thought he could take him, but the Americans were harder to defeat than he thought.
It was a British tactical victory, but still, the Americans escaped. I know I'm armchair quarterbacking, but perhaps Burgoyne was a bit hasty in his decision to take off after the enemy.
Well, his orders from Germain were to destroy his enemy wherever he found them. He was just doing what he was told.
Right. But he also departed from his plan to travel on Lake George. Remember what Burgoyne had said in his thoughts for conducting war.
The immediate possession of Lake George would be of great consequence as the most expeditious and most commodious route to Albany. Should efforts fail, the route by South Bay and Skeensborough may be attempted, but considerable difficulties may be expected, as the narrow part of the river may easily be choked up and rendered impassable, and at best, there will be necessity for a great deal of land carriage for the artillery, provisions, etc., which could only be supplied from Canada.
So where is Burgoyne? Is he still on the lake?
He is. St. Clair had loaded his munitions and provisions, along with the sick and invalid soldiers, onto boats to escape by way of a southerly retreat on Lake Champlain, and Burgoyne was after them.
The gunboats were immediately moved forward, and the boom and one of the intermediate floats were cut with great dexterity and dispatch. A passage was found in half an hour, through impediments which the enemy had been laboring for months together to make impenetrable.
So in a half hour, Burgoyne was able to break through the water defenses the rebels constructed, while Fraser and Riedesel are chasing the rebels by land towards Hubbardton. Burgoyne is chasing the rebels by water.
And they're headed to Whitehall. So are we.